Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. I'm Jess.
And I'm Rod.
And today we're coming to you with cruises again, but this time with a twist.
It's a showdown.
Yes, Disney versus Royal Cruise Line, the showdown.
Yeah, so when we cruise, typically one of the most asked questions that we get is, should I go on a Disney cruise or should I go on a Royal Caribbean cruise?
We are asked this a lot, and it's hard. We have sailed Royal a ton of times. So I'm just going to throw that out there to start this podcast off. We've sailed Royal way more than we have sailed Disney, but we have sailed Disney in the past when Santi was really little and we had a wonderful experience. So we're kind of try to say like the, not pros and cons, but the differences between the two.
Yeah, I think depending on your situation, what you're looking to get out of your cruise, you're going to have a different preference for either cruise line. We think they're both fantastic. There's, yeah, as Jess mentioned, there's some differences. So let's dive in and start with, what do you want to start with today?
Okay, well, for Disney Cruise Line, because we get asked that one the most, I think Disney, if you are a Disney lover and you love the characters and you love the magic of Disney, obviously that's hard for any brand to compete with. I mean, I think one of the huge highlights of a Disney cruise line is the character meet and greets. Because at a theme park, you might wait an hour to see Mickey, or you're waiting in line, you're hoping to see the characters. And on the cruise, they had times and they listed out which characters were going to be there. And so you could easily and efficiently see all these characters and get up close and personal with them. And even one night they had like a dance party with all the characters. And so for young kids who love Mickey, or adults who love the character aspect of Disney, it's like you will only get that on a Disney cruise line.
Yeah. And I think from the theming and branding in general, similar to how I would say the Disney parks, there's a certain level of like, not prestige, but high quality when you're going through the park, where everything there is very
purposeful
and intended to, you know, when you're walking by Main Street and it smells delicious, when you're seeing all the nice little touches and finishes, the park is always immaculately clean. That's the kind of transition or things that you should expect in a Disney cruise line. Not that Royal Caribbean's not clean, it's just there's a difference, I think, just from the level of finishes around the ship to the little touches, the artwork that is all Disney themed, and it just, it's really nostalgic in a way, but it also feels very new yet homey, I would say, being in a Disney ship. I think in general, they are smaller ships as compared to Royal Caribbean, who has a bunch of different classes of ships, most of which the ones that we've done are the larger ones. So that's something to take into consideration too.
Yes. And there's also just like the little hidden Mickeys. I mean, it is themed out. And if you are a Disney fanatic, I mean, that's just something that other brands can't compete with. They can't have the Disney themed and the Disney magic that makes it a special thing. So that is what you can expect on a Disney cruise line. Whereas Royal has really, really, really done a great job in the last several years at re-amplifying their ships. They've done a lot of huge makeovers, and their ships, especially their newer ships, are jaw-droppingly beautiful. I mean, I get on and I see the grand entrance, like the main area of the ship.
Right.
It's called
the Royal Promenade,
and it's beautiful. And the boardwalk and is something so different, as well as they have now Central Park. It feels like you are in Central Park, New York, like on this ship. And so to me, a royal ship is equally as magical. It's just magical in a very different way. It's not the themed Disney way, but I feel like it still took a lot of creativity and innovation for them to create these little pockets on the ship that in different parts of the royal ship, especially the large ones, the Symphony, the Wonder, and those ships, different parts of the ship feel like you're in a completely different ship altogether, because they did them, these neighborhoods, so unique and so just well done. But it is different.
I think Royal Caribbean really distinguishes themselves. I think both companies innovate. Disney innovates very well in the types of experiences with dining, or particularly some of the shows that you'll have on the ships. Whereas Royal Caribbean, I would say, they innovate to make a broader variety of experiences that more, I'd say, age ranges are going to like. I think there's a lot of really good adult activities that you're going to find in Royal Caribbean ships, whether that's some of the shows, whether that's the casinos, the comedy club that's adults only. They have adults only karaoke. So there's going to be more adult leaning activities, I would say, in Royal Caribbean ship as compared to what you're going to find on a Disney cruise, where very much the core of the experience is family friendly all the way. Granted, yes, there are going to be adult things and spaces to do. It's just, it's not going to be as much. Yeah. And that's one thing that we noticed too, is towards the later portions of the evening after dinner, Royal Caribbean ships, there's plenty of bars either have live music or late night shows that are going on. I think from the Disney perspective, it's very much so you go to dinner, you watch maybe one show with the family. And then the expectation for most people, I would say, is that they go to bed and get ready for the next day or the next excursion or whatever it is.
I think it's important to note when Rod says Royal's like more adult oriented, it's still equally kid friendly. It's just at the nighttime, there's way more options on a Royal ship to go out at night. Mm-hmm. I think when we sailed Disney, I mean, at that time we had a 2-year-old. We were chasing Santi around all day. And honestly, after the night show, we wanted to go to bed because we were exhausted. He was too young, I believe, to go to the free kids club on that sail.
Right.
And so we didn't leave him all that often. And it was more oriented on having him experience the characters. And I don't know, just it was more about all of that. Now for us, as our kids are older and they're at the kids club for a big portion of the day and they love the kids club, Rod and I enjoy the fact that we can go to karaoke, we can go to the nightlife, that there's a lot of things going on. I think Disney, like, for example, Nora right now is 7. It's a really good age still for her to go see the princesses that she loves and the characters and all of that aspect. We would just have I think Disney's a more relaxed sail.
Yeah. And I think in terms of the kids clubs themselves, I would say they both have multiple age ranges. But what I have constantly heard in terms of the kids club and the type of activities and the kind of immersion that you get, the Disney kids clubs there, I think they do have some very much more detailed activities that are all Disney themed, the character meetups that happen at the kids clubs as well, where when it comes to how much, not necessarily fun, but how many different activities and things that the kids can do, we've heard that the Disney Cruise Line kids clubs are a little bit more of a better option, which makes sense. I mean, Disney, they pride themselves on family friendliness and accessibility towards all age ranges for kids. So for them to have a very robust kids club really makes sense. Whereas a Royal Caribbean one, they do great. I mean, there's lots of activities for the kids. They can play video games. They have events that they do, competitions. They have arts and crafts, and they have science shows and things like that. But it's all, you know, generic theming versus the entire Disney, let's have a Marvel day, let's do Pixar, let's do Disney movies and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So our kids love the Royal Kids Club, but they haven't. That's one area we can't, besides feedback we've heard from others, because our kids have never been in a Disney Kids Club.
Right.
But the feedback we hear, I agree with Rod, is it's just more, I don't know, creative. A area that we do notice a big difference between Royal and Disney would be dining. Mm-hmm. Royals come a long way with their dining. We love Izumi sushi. We love all of those things. But something that Disney does that is unique, and it's the only cruise line I've experienced this, is that you are assigned, like when you board, a different restaurant each night. And it's not like on Royal Caribbean, we do anytime dining. So we could go to the main dining room at any time. We can choose a restaurant because we buy the specialty dining package. And it's kind of, you just go wherever you want to go. With Disney, you go at a set time to the restaurant you're allocated. But what's cool about it is you're assigned a server, a wait staff, for dining on your first night of the ship. And every night, even though you're moving restaurants, that waiter moves with you. So it was kind of cool to really get to know one person throughout that week that you're sailing, and that they got to really know, you know, here's my food allergy, here's how I like my coffee, here's, I mean, they really took notes on each person at that table. Did they want butter with their bread when they arrived? Like, what was it that each person liked and disliked? And they took so many notes that, like, by the day two, it felt like this person had known you for years because they knew exactly what each person at that table's preferences were. And that was kind of cool to see. It's the only cruise line I've experienced that on. And I mean, I guess for some people, it's a little bit more prohibiting because you have an assigned place and that's where you should probably eat dinner.
Yeah. But I think another big difference there is the dining experiences at Disney really are experiences where they have some kind of storytelling baked into the actual dining experience. So for one, there's like an, I think it's an animation based one where there's characters and the walls have projections of things that are happening and coming to life while you're eating. I think maybe the closest that Royal Caribbean gets to this is their Wonderland restaurant that they have on some of the ships where it's Alice in Wonderland themed and you have some activities to uncover your menu and the menu items themselves are very creative. I think you get a lot more of that in Disney where there is a very high quality level of storytelling. And I think there's some where like Frozen characters show up or they're you know, you're eating in, I forgot what the country or the name of the place where the Frozen characters live, but you're eating there and you get to see the characters and things like that.
I remember when we drew stuff and then they created animations on the wall.
Yeah.
It transferred really cool. Over. Uh-huh. Their dining is definitely an experience. It's one of those things. It's not like, oh, I have to be there at 7 to eat. It's like, you're excited to go because your kids are going to be entertained at this dinner. It's like a show. It's very immersive. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really, really cool. I think that is a cool aspect that Disney has really done a great job on.
Right.
As far as night shows, not nightlife, because Royal exceeds in nightlife to me in every way, but like entertainment, mm-hmm. night shows. It depends on the entertainment you like. Disney does really cool, almost Broadway style performances of like Beauty and the Beast or The Lion King or
Aladdin.
Yeah. Aladdin. There's all these very theatrical shows. They're extremely well done. They're beautiful. And I think anyone who went would be so impressed and happy.
Right.
Royal also has shows. And I will say it's a personal preference to me. It depends on what you like. I think Royal has the best show at sea.
Oh, okay. Big claim, bold claim right there. Let's uncover that one.
I think Royal has the number one show at sea. But take this with the person that Rod's the main Disney lover in our family. Mm-hmm. And I like Disney, but it's not like I'm not a fanatic.
Yeah.
But when you go at sea and you watch their show, especially their newest show on Wonder of the Seas, Intense.
Yep.
And it is like Cirque du Soleil is out in the middle of the ocean. I mean, they are diving from platforms. They're on high wires. There's some of their shows include these incredible drone spectacles. I mean, I just think that the technology, it's different than Disney. It's not the magical feel good Disney love story, but it's just incredible. I mean, so many of the performers are Olympic athletes and you just see the athleticism and it's just so high energy. That in my heart of hearts, my two favorite shows I've seen at sea are Wonder of the Seas Intense. I love the first row, even though you get wet, because it's just so cool to be up close. And Symphony of the Seas, The Flight. I think Flight was an incredible, incredibly, incredibly well done show. It just had so many cool moments in it that I was like, wow, there's a lot of creativity in it. And yeah, it's not Disney creative magic, but still, it's incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I was looking up right now. So the newest Disney ship is called the Disney Wish. And that's one that we were thinking of going on last year. We didn't end up doing it. But I was trying to see the shows because since it is the newest ship, you would think that they would have like their latest and greatest shows. They do have two of them. One of them is called Disney Seize the Adventure. And it's all about Captain Minnie and Mickey Mouse. They're handing over the helm of the ship to Goofy, and then a lot of different things at sea happens that brings in a lot of the Disney properties. Then they also have a more like adaptation of The Little Mermaid on that show. So, you know, I think this really does show, yes, what Jess is talking about, where it's not like a Broadway show where you're just standing in front of a stage that might have different props and stuff. This is, they're doing pool stuff and their stages, like the water level is changing constantly. They're diving from different heights And they're constantly going in this intense show in the Aqua Theater. And yeah, I think it's very hard to top that. And from what we hear, even the newest ship that's called Icon of the Seas, they're going to have a similar stage, but it's all going to be kind of indoors, enclosed pool performing center that, you know, sometimes when it was really windy, then they had to call off the show. So they're trying to avoid maybe some of the weather related types of cancellations for that by making it all an enclosed indoor space. So it is. They do innovate really heavily. That flight show where stuff is hanging off, even the show The Effectors, which it was very, very clearly like, I don't know if it was like a satire or trying to emulate what the Avengers are for Disney. And the technology and the performance and the quality of the performance was great. The actual story itself was not that great, but you can tell that, you know, they're trying to compete and they're trying to push forward with the types of things.
They are. They're successfully competing. Well, yeah,
they are. They are definitely competing. And you see the laser effects and the things, you know, the drones that are moving around and the vehicles that are suspended above the stage flying over the audience. That kind of stuff is something that Royal Caribbean does really well at. And yeah, they don't have the branded characters to be able to like pull at your heartstrings with the iconic like Mickey and Minnie Mouse and all the movies that they've done at Disney. But they're trying and they're still end up with some really entertaining performances.
Well, do you think Intense is the best show at sea?
I do, yeah. But I haven't seen the newest like Disney Wish shows, right?
Yes, so that's
I can't really make a fair comparison.
I don't know. When I watch Intense, I feel like I forget where I am and feel like I'm in Las Vegas watching a Cirque du Soleil show because it is that good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
I agree.
So I think that's a huge difference. For me, like when people ask, like, what should we do? What should we do? It is harder because we haven't done a Disney cruise in a long time, even though we have done Disney. It's interesting. We have some family who are Disney fanatics. They sail Disney all the time. And we recently convinced them to go on a Royal ship because I'm like, you have to try Royal. You have to try Royal. And they went. And I think they saw a lot of the same differences we did with the dining and the characters. But my aunt and uncle are retired and they're older and they love the casino. And that's not an option on Disney. And so they were happy with that aspect and happy once again with the nightlife aspect. So, I mean, it's just, it depends. I always tell people, I think age is a huge factor. Royal Caribbean has so many cool things to do on the ship. I'd say activity wide, like what can you do activity wide? There's a lot of cool activities on the Disney ships. They have the aqueduct. There's the little splash pad. They have a movie theater where you can actually see movies that were playing in theater. I guess that's a little different now since COVID. Because before, like,
no, they still do releases, theater releases only now at Disney.
On the Disney ship, that's free that you can see, and they have a lot of activities. But Royal really leads the way as far as they have. Royal has skydiving. You could surf on the ship. You can do ice skating, roller skating. I mean, there's laser tag. There's endless, endless, endless activities, which to me, for Santi, who's now 10 and not into the characters, like Santi, he's just not a Disney fanatic.
Aside from Marvel, the superheroes, right?
Yeah. He would prefer to go and have endless activity options all day than doing a character meet and greet. That's just how he is. Yeah. Nora, on the other hand, she absolutely loves Royal. But I think if she had the chance to go meet all the princesses and dress up and do the Bippity Boppity Boutique and like all of that, I think she would find a lot of magic in that. Yeah. And so I think it depends on where your kids are age-wise and what their interests are. Something we haven't touched on, though, are the private islands.
Destinations in general. So let's talk about those. Biggest difference between Disney and Royal Caribbean is that Disney only has 5 ships and Royal Caribbean has like 25 plus different ships. So while, yes, Disney Cruise Line does go to a lot of the same ports that Royal Caribbean does, and they can even access some of the other ones since their ships are typically smaller. So they go into Norway and Denmark and those kinds of places, but it's also going to be not as available as Royal Caribbean's itineraries are when they have to spread their ships across the world to be able to reach those destinations, where in Royal Caribbean, you'll have multiple choices along multiple different dates and weeks that you can go to that location because their ships are always just there and you have a lot of them.
And so, it's much cheaper. I'd say a 3 to 4 day Disney sale will cost the same of about a 7 to 9 night Royal sale.
Yep.
Substantially more expensive to sail Disney. And it just, I think that's partly because they only have 5 ships and they have a very large demand and they can do that.
Right.
They're Disney.
In terms of the private islands themselves, so Royal Caribbean has Coco Cay and Disney Cruise Line has Castaway Cay.
And Labadee. Royal Caribbean has Labadee.
Royal Caribbean has Labadee as well. And they're working, I think, on a private area in the Bahamas near Nassau. But yeah, in terms of the private islands, I think...
it's kind of like the ships in a way. Castaway Cay is beautiful. We ended up getting a private cabana when we went and it was so nice. And
yeah, there's a bike riding, there's beach access, there's pools.
There's character meet and greets
there. So it all has that Disney touch to it. But then
it's sleepier.
Now thinking of Coco Cay and you have the Thrill Water Park with all these like super tall and really thrilling water slides. You've got the wave pool and they're just,
there's
the beach club, there's different, the lagoon pool that's huge. And yeah, just broader, higher number of activities and variety that you're going to find in Coco Cay as opposed to Castaway Cay. But you know, if it depends, if you love Disney and you want a Disney themed island, you're going to get that.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, it comes down to some people go to Coco Cay and they have no desire to go to the water park. They have no desire to go to the wave pool and they just want a beautiful beach to lounge on. So it's like at that point, there's not a big difference between the two. They're both gorgeous settings.
Right.
I'd say Labadee would be more similar to Castaway Cay, except there aren't characters. Labadee is gorgeous.
There's a massive zip line, I think, that is so cool in Labadee that you fly Superman style. That one I highly recommend. But yeah, you're right.
Labadee and Castaway Cay, I think, are more similar. But they're just beautiful, beautiful islands where you get off. It's all inclusive. It's gorgeous. And they're amazing destinations to stop at. I don't think any other cruise line comes close, though, to having a perfect day at Coco Cay for a family who wants adventure.
Yeah.
It is important to note, though, just because I said everything's free when you get off. When you go to Perfect Day at Coco Cay, the food and things are included at most of the restaurants.
Yep.
If you have a drink package, that's included as well. If you don't, you have to pay for your alcohol. But the water park is not included. We get asked that a lot. The water park is almost like an excursion. So there's a separate entrance fee to enter the water park. And then we get asked if you should buy that. It depends on the age of your kids. They have like little water parks that are perfect for younger kids that are free.
Yep.
That if I have a kid under the age of probably 6, 7, I wouldn't pay for the water park.
Yeah.
But if your kid's Santi's age at 10, looking at these huge slides, they're going to be very excited about it.
And also be aware that those tickets to the water park on a given day do sell out sometimes in advance, because if you have two of the big Oasis class ships that are making port at Perfect Day at Coco Cay for that day, that's a ton of people that are going through. And if you go there and you look at the water park and you decide that you want to go and buy tickets, you may not have that opportunity because they might be sold out for the day. So it's something to take into consideration. Ask when they go into, you know, when you're going to Perfect Day, if there's tickets to Thrill Water Park still available or what that's looking like for the itinerary for that day for the other ships that are there too.
Another part that I've heard on, I don't want to comment on it too much because I can't remember, because Rod and I aren't really picky with our rooms. Like, we're never in our rooms when we go on a cruise ship. We're out and about all day and literally get there and just fall asleep. But it is said that the basic rooms on Disney are larger, not by a ton. I think they're like 40 square meters feet larger than a Royal Caribbean standard room. But Royal does have more upgrade suite options. There's endless suite options upgrade to. And just keep in mind, like with Royal, you're paying a cheaper fee to get on the ship to begin with. But like the base standard room, we keep being told on Disney is bigger.
Yeah. And Disney also has on the TV, they have their whole collection of movies and TV shows that you have access to, which I don't think you have any of that at Royal Caribbean ships.
I don't know.
If you like spending time in your rooms and maybe you want to wind down in the evening by watching a movie, then you can put that on in your room.
I don't know if we've ever turned the TV on.
We did the one at Disney. Yeah, we watched some of the shows and movies there. Royal Caribbean, no, we're not.
We're so busy.
Yeah, we just go out of the room.
We're doing it sleeping or showering
and getting ready for the next event from the room. So.
Oh, man. On Royal, we're always so tired because Rod and I do love the nightlife so much. I think because we don't have a sitter at home all the time.
Yeah.
That, like, having a free sitter on the ship, we go out and it's just, oh, we get off those ships with full hearts, but exhausted because we go out and have so much fun. And then we're like,
get wrecked.
Yeah. And yeah. Then, you know, we go out and have a really good night and then the kids are ready to go at like 8 a.m. to all this stuff. And so it's just a hectic week, but
yeah, but it's very, very well, like, well put together and
Disney,
fulfilled.
Yeah. Yes. Disney is now starting to do more of specified character sales. Like I saw that they recently did the Pixar sale. Then they had a Marvel sale.
Yep.
And so it used to be more like the Disney sale, like the generic sale. And it seems like they're testing out these
specialty cruises, calling them. Yeah.
So if you have a kid, like, for instance, Santi right now is really into Marvel, but he doesn't care about Mickey and Minnie anymore. And so, like, he might love a Marvel sale where it's just the characters he's
meets the superheroes, right?
Yeah. So I think that they're both incredible options. I think if you went on either, you're really fortunate just to be able to go on an incredible vacation where you get to spend time with your family and make memories and do cool things.
Right.
I personally, just because I'm not a huge Disney fan, would choose Royal.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would too, but there's also other cruise lines, right? There's Norwegian Cruise Lines. We've done Carnival, not really our jam.
That would be one I wouldn't. Yeah. I don't know. I hear that they've come a long way. Rod and I both did Carnival, not together, separate,
right?
But as like young college students, it was very much a young
that's
college.
That's what we
student.
Wanted at the time, and now that's not really what we're into anymore. Yeah. So
it wouldn't be my choice, but I mean, if Carnival is more affordable than the other two options, and if that's what you are at to get a vacation, I mean, a vacation's a vacation.
Yeah.
So.
And there's also repositioning cruises for all of these cruise lines, and we talked about that a few episodes ago. So if you're interested in getting a more affordable option, if you have flexibility with your timing and the amount of days that you can sail, looking into repositioning cruises. I'll link that on the show notes. It'll be at www.thejetsettingfamily.com/episode51. And from there on, you'll be able to see all the other different cruise resources that we have on our blog. We'll link that on there just so you can go check it out and, you know, be informed on your decisions and what it is that you want to do.
Something I will note on that you need to be aware of is when we sailed our very first time, Santi was young. I think he was 1.5 or 2. And we wasn't our very first time, but our very first time as a family, we went on the Disney cruise and I wasn't aware. And it's just something to note, so you're not disappointed, is one, a lot of the cruise lines, if your child isn't potty trained or if they're under 3, there is a kids club option, but it's not free and it requires reservations. So that's a huge difference when you're looking at expenses between a free drop off all day and a pay per hour. And two, even with a swim diaper, young kids cannot get in the pool. It's like not allowed on any cruise ship due to the way that
they have
clean
to sanitize,
and sanitize right, their
and
water.
Access to the water.
Thankfully, now a lot of these cruises are starting to put these little splash pad areas and the little kids can run on these splash pad areas. And Royal Caribbean's newest ship, I loved this feature on Wonder that I didn't see on Symphony, is they had a dry playground, which is awesome because the little kids can partake in that. But I will say, I remember thinking, and maybe because I was a new parent, I don't know, that I wish I would have waited until Santi was 3. I think it would have been different had he been our youngest kid and we had older kids.
Yeah.
But he was our only kid.
Right.
And we couldn't.
He was still way too young.
We
for
felt
a
like
lot
we couldn't
activities.
Do a lot of the activities and we had to pay to leave him at the childcare. Once we started cruising again when Santi was 5 and Nora was under 2, and I guess I just didn't care as much because I saw Santi having so much fun and he was able to enjoy all the activities. I didn't mind that Nora couldn't do a lot of them.
Right.
But when we pay to go and like he couldn't do a ton of them and that was our only child, I was kind of like, we probably should have waited till he was potty trained and qualified for the daycare.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, I mean, it's different for every family, like what
Yeah, with those, yeah, let us know what you think. If you've gone on both Disney and Royal Caribbean, then reach out to us at the Jet Setting Family on Instagram. We'd love to get your thoughts on what is your preferred way of cruising, or if you don't cruise, then what your other types of vacations are that you look forward to doing. And if you ever need any help planning a trip or need some feedback on what your plans are, feel free to reach out to us at any time. We'll be there and are happy to help.
Yeah. And if we end up sailing other cruise lines, we will give an updated comparison on whatever that is. Because it has been a while. I guess in that sense, you know, we've found what we love and we've stuck to it. But we are also always excited to expand our horizons and try new things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So until next week,
happy jet setting.